Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all so much to fit in today. As always, before I forget, you can reach me with your comments, criticisms, what have you, at info@redskyradio.net. info@redskyradio.net. Don't do Facebook, don't do Instagram, don't do Twitter. Don't plan on it either, because they're shutting us down, so why get into something that's going to be shut down by the left-wing elite? But I try to start with good news. I almost always start with good news. Don't always end with really great news, but I try to leave you with a word of encouragement. But today I have a bit of a teaching program, if you will, and it's going to be a bit of a civics lesson applied from the past to today. But first of all, I just want to thank, Gary. I'll just say that much. Gary, Central California. About 3-4 weeks ago, I mentioned the fact that I was going to be doing a series of teachings on the end times, dealing with why the pre-trib rapture is not true and why the post-trib rapture is the only thing that reasonably fits Scripture. And it may be part of what will then become simply a YouTube church or something like that. I've thought about it. I've been asked about it. It wouldn't necessarily be something you get every Sunday morning. I don't really know. But I ask for ideas for possible names. Gary, God bless you. You sent in, let me see here, a total of 33 names for me to consider. And I will tell you, there are about four that have made the short list. So I want to thank you for that. And just as a matter of business, I hate taking care of any business while on the air. It just seems like I don't know how I want to take up the time. But I get asked from time to time, our contributions to Red Sky Radio, tax deductible? They are not. I would blow the tax exempt status about 9 seconds into my monologue. It's way too political. There's just no use in even trying. And I don't want to ever, ever, ever be restricted. My speech be restricted by the thought that I'm going to blow a tax-exempt status. In fact, that never occurred to me for the 14 years that I preached. I probably blew our tax-exempt status every single Sunday. But we weren't going to be bound by that, and we can't be. I can only say this, if God has led you to give to Red Sky Radio, whether it's deductible or not, if you really feel led that God has told you to do that, please do it, because you'll be blessed, tax deduction aside. In which case, if you're married, you know, you got to get over $24,000 of deductions now before the tax deduction to any church or anything means anything. It's very high, $12,000 for single. Well, I'm not going to go into my past as a tax lawyer here, but I do also want to say, as a measure of good news, the companion program to Red Sky Radio, which is Real Men Radio, is now being aired at times, which I'm not sure the times, if you're in these areas, you'll just have to check them. And up in Northern California, KKXX out of Chico, KKMC down in the Bay Area is airing it now, as well as, I believe, KKVV in Las Vegas. So those are three areas where Real Men Radio, you might just want to check out their programming or call. I just don't know the times. But anyway, I think that takes care of business, so we need to move on now. So, where do we start with this day of teaching? Well, I want to just give you a couple of quick, since I mentioned a couple of California radio stations, I just want to mention something here out of the gate that doesn't surprise me. It was just a matter of time. But the fact is that the Democrats run California. But even the Democrats, some of the top Democrats, are getting upset that the budget process gives Gavin Newsom too much power over COVID-19 spending. They want to have a role to play. Yeah, there's a new resolution now submitted to terminate Gavin Newsom's emergency powers. You got to love it when the Democrats start fighting against each other, because here's the deal. You have heard me say ad nauseum, Democrats only care about power and control. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you only care about power and control, and your life is nothing but secular, raw, greedy ambition to control people, guess what? What happens when you come up in your desires against somebody in your same party who's got the same raw, greedy desire to control? Now you've got the infighting. And I just sort of love to stand back and see it. It's sort of like what happened with Gideon. You know, there's 300 in Gideon's band and, what, 180,000 Midianites? I kind of forgot the number. But when God did a work among the enemy, did Gideon really have to fight? No. The Midianites, they all destroyed each other. No one is more prone to join a circular firing squad than Democrats, because their goal is power. And if you as a Democrat want power and somebody else, other Democrat, is standing in your way, look out. You see, they're after Trump right now. This is sort of like the Bloods and the Crips. They fight against each other until the police show up, and then they're on each other's side. So all the people that hate Trump are coalesced on the left. But if Trump were gone, boy, look, watch out as you see these Democrats grapple for power. Well, it's already happening in California, the leading abortion state. That's why I call him Gavin Newsom. The leading abortion state in the United States by a long shot, not even close. But if you think all this in-house wrangling and rankling against Newsom is going to lead to a Republican governor, probably not. Okay. You know, I have detected certain ways over my life to be able to identify certain people as to their inclinations. Now, guess what? The scripture says, judge no man according to his appearance, right? That's very clear. And I have been guilty of that. And yet, there are some, okay, scripture notwithstanding, I have to tell you, there's some things you can just sort of tell by looking at some people. For example, when I see a person walking down an empty sidewalk like I did 2 days ago with a face mask on, unaccompanied by anyone, or driving down the road with a face mask on and no one else is in the car, they're probably a Democrat. Probably. Now, am I judging them? No, I'm not really judging. That's why I'm safe saying this. This isn't a judgment. So let me call, how do I get out of this? Let's call it an assessment or an identification. But here's the point I really want to come to here, is that if you look at the extent to control our lives by the left, from the absolute horror and terror that struck fear in all of the Democrats when Trump got elected, so he had impeachment. One, impeachment two, impeachment 3.0, 4.0, coronavirus is impeachment 5.0, the collusion, the Kavanaugh hearings, go right on down the line, right down to the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page email that they've got an insurance policy, their words, against Trump being elected. An insurance policy. Oh, that's nice, FBI, a feckless batch of incompetence. Is that what it stands for? Comey? What a scumbag. Yeah, he is. I'll tell you, I'm sure there are a lot of great agents in the FBI. It was actually the reason I originally wanted to go to law school was to be an FBI agent. You know, God took me a different direction. But if you consider the people that have tried impeachment 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.0, the ones who support the execution of 62 million unborn children in the womb, the ones who are in love with the whole idea of queer marriage and every other form of sexual debauchery, if they're the ones who want to ban our guns, if they are so off on everything, why on earth should we believe or trust any Democrat governor? From Gruesome to Whitmer in Michigan, everything is suspect coming from those people. If they're wrong on every other issue, why wouldn't they likely be wrong on this issue? Come on, they've got a reprobate mind when you've gone this far left. So you got Gretchen Whitmer wanting to ban guns from the Capitol in Michigan. I was thrilled that a panel of Republicans, because they control the Senate and the House in Michigan, looked at it and decided, no, they're not going to ban guns from the Capitol. Now, I want to say as a matter of common sense, which, of course, this is nothing that Whitmer could grapple with or grasp. Why, if nothing happened, think about this. Why, if nothing happened when guns came into the Capitol, do you need to ban them? You see, it's one thing to respond to something that happened. It's another thing to respond to something that didn't happen. We'll say, well, we want to protect it from the future. Well, you know what? Let's protect ourselves by disenfranchising Democrats from voting. Let's ground all the planes so we can never have another plane crash. Let's shut down all the FedEx drivers so we never get another delivery. Let's just try to protect ourselves against everything that might happen and even against stuff that never happened. I do love this T-shirt I saw the other day. Maybe you've seen it too. It says, my rights don't end where someone else's fears begin. Isn't that good? My rights don't end where someone else's fears begin. You and I do not have to give up our rights just because there's a pack of nervous Nellies out there, whether they're in a Democrat-dominated legislature or whether they're the ones who no longer have the guts to come to church. Sorry, I just have to say it. Well, so you look at these governors and what they've done. Look at the people that they have released. In California, these seven child molesters that they released because, oh gosh, we don't want them to get COVID-19. No, no, no. Well, test the people that are in the jail or in the prison and leave them there if they're negative, and take them out if they are positive, and then put them all in together as positives in another jail cell. I mean, this is pretty easy, folks. This is a no-brainer. But let them out. So out of the seven molesters, six of them have already been rearrested. In New York, 100 of the releasees, if you will, who've got the get-out-of-jail-free card, have been rearrested because they're back to committing all sorts of crimes. And why? Because they know they go into jail, they'll just get back out again. This is why New York sucks. It's why California sucks. They are so stuck on stupid. There's no common sense being exercised at the most minimal level. Now, I don't want to tread on Sean Hannity and Mark Levin's territory here, so I'm not going to go too far, much farther with that, except to say that when you release a murderer for COVID-19 purposes in New York, who within 1 week slaughters a woman, and down in Florida, a murderer who turns around and is accused of a murder one day after this guy is let out for COVID-19. So that's right. Let's let out convicted murderers because they might catch something that might hospitalize them, and maybe there's a 0.03% chance they could die. So let them go so they can kill innocent people. Gosh. You know, I mean, Florida's got a good governor, but that decision to let that guy go was a county decision. And guess what county it was that let that guy go who within one day murdered an innocent woman? Hillsborough County, the county that shut down Rodney Howard Brown's church service. So go figure from there. Well, I want to cover here a story which is leading up to my teaching session. I sort of have to lay the groundwork here for this. And we have one governor I have not talked much about. He's horrible. We got a fair amount of listeners in Seattle, but I got to tell you, your state's going down the toilet. And it needs to be flushed. Isn't it amazing how states are screwed, so to speak? They get ripped off. They get soiled, tainted, and defiled by one city. So Portland wrecks Oregon. Seattle destroys Washington. Denver destroys Colorado. Chicago wrecks Illinois. Detroit wrecks Michigan. Guess where all this, guess where the preponderance of sin is, folks? If you want to be a really good burglar, you go to those cities that got so many potential victims. You got the Democrats, Maryland, ruined by Baltimore. We could just keep going. New York City. If you could just throw New York City into the sea, the state of New York would be Republican and have a measure of common sense. It's what concerns me about Arizona. Will Phoenix kill this state? Are we going to be headed towards Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming? Those are good states. They're all good states with governors with brains, common sense, which isn't so common in any left-wing city, which is almost all of them. There are a few notable exceptions. But I haven't picked on Washington, the state of Washington, for some time. But you have one of the worst governors in the history of mankind in Jay Inslee. This guy is all about climate change, climate change, climate change. Well, Jay, yes, if you read the book, you read 2 Peter, you will see that there is a day where the earth will burn with a fervent heat and there will be rapid global warming. And Jay, you need to turn to Jesus, because otherwise you could be part of that inferno. You could be part of that cleansing of all things wicked if you don't trust Jesus. And you could be part of protection if you did and turn from your wicked ways. So Jay Inslee sees everything through a lens of climate change, climate change, climate change. I got to tell you, I've been to Washington. I have friends there. With all due respect, I will take a freezing sub-zero temperature winter with some sunshine and snow to the long extended rain. I love rain. I just can't do 4 or 5 months of it. If I were Jay Inslee, I would want climate change to maybe alter something there in Washington. But this is what the guy did, and this is the tee up to our teaching session today. So I'm going to go back to March, because he proudly stated that the virus is, in his words, an opportunity to peddle a solution to climate change. End quote. Look at the words this guy's even using. This is an opportunity to peddle a solution. It's like he is willingly identifying himself with a snake oil salesman. He sounds like the peddler. You know, the from The Music Man. If you know that movie, it tells you my age. But the peddler, which I think was Eddie Arnold or somebody. Anyway, he was the peddler. What was the peddler do? The peddler pushes things you don't need. The peddler exaggerates. The peddler bloviates. The peddler gets into a lot of hyperbole about in the sales process. You can't trust them. And Inslee identifies with snake oil salesmen. This is my chance to peddle a solution. Meaning we don't need it, but this is a time we can sneak it in. Now, he is a devotee of global warming being a problem. There isn't any question that he really believes that, but that's just, you know, how screwed up he is. But he actually instituted some of the most stringent stay-at-home orders in the United States because he saw them as, quote, an economic opportunity. Quote, we have a rare and short window of opportunity to rebuild our country and our economy. Continue on, quote, let us use this pandemic recovery to provide a foundation for an inclusive and more resilient world for all people. Do you know, end quote. You know what he means by that? Let's use this as the opportunity to seize total control so that we can force everybody into one position, deprive of them of their liberties, take control, because we're a lot smarter as the Democrat elite than these yin-yangs that go around and actually voting for people like Donald Trump. So what has he done? He has now required that at the beginning of the opening of restaurants in Washington, that restaurants that will have any indoor dining will have to maintain a log. That's right. And pray tell, what will be in the log? If you come in to dine, you're going to have to give them your name, I think your telephone number, definitely your email address. You got to turn over your information. And they have to keep it for 30 days so they can track you. Well, so you got 25 people sitting out there. You got all their addresses. That's a great time for a burglar to just say, well, I got 25 homes I can hit because they're over at Joe's Crab Shack or someplace eating. This is a guy who banned all religious gatherings of any size. Now, he's changed from that because the pressure got too hot. But you know where the heart is. You know where the heart of these Democrats is. And that is, it's in their feet. They have no heart. He banned all religious gatherings of any size, including, you ready? A one-on-one Bible study in a person's home. He banned that. That was illegal. I got to tell you, I'm going to throw in a little bit of a good news thing here. I was in a restaurant here the other day in Arizona called the Horseshoe Cafe, and it made, I don't know, it might have made national news. It certainly made big Arizona news in Wickenburg and actually throughout the Southwest, because this lady who is about 4'10", and I'm going to say, you know, I'm not going to embarrass her because I'm not going to overstate her weight, but I'm going to guess she's probably right around 90 pounds, maybe. Feisty gal. Don't mess with this lady. This is the one who the cops tried to get her to stop serving people because it was supposedly against an order, which really questionably was an order, but even if it was, she said no. If you're going to arrest me tomorrow, you might as well go arrest me today because I'm not closing. I went in there to see her the other day, and that restaurant, which is supposed to be practicing social distancing, is probably 20 by 25. I mean, it's not even, you know, 500 square feet seating area. No, it's not even that. It's more like about 16 by 20. It is small. It's a little cafe. I bet there were 45 to 50 people in there all sitting shoulder to shoulder around tables that would accommodate 6 to 8 people, and the tables are no more than about 18 inches apart. Having a great time, and about every single one of those people in there was packing a gun. And on the way out, there were a couple of bikers and their spouses or girlfriends. They asked me about, I took a picture of them, they wanted their picture taken. Kind of funny because actually they said, we'd like her picture taken, but by all means, don't leave our motorcycles out of the picture. So I thought, I said, well, am I, does that mean do your wives or girlfriends get to stay? Well, no. Anyway, I took their pictures, all four of them, the girls too. They're all sitting there with holsters, semi-autos in that right hip holster. I love it. I love it. I mean, who's going to go in there and try to shut this woman down? These aren't people who are trying to cause a revolt. These aren't people who are part of a rebellion. These are people who are just simply ready to stand and defend a person's right to make a living. Now, onto the teaching session. And I need to give you, I want to give you something from the 30s and something that's been around forever, which means from the Word of God. The Germans had an expression, and I hope that I'm saying this right. I should probably have my wife do it. She speaks some German, but I believe it is pronounced für ihre Sicherheit. Für ihre Sicherheit. If I keep saying it, I'm going to get closer to how it's really spelled. It was a Nazi phrase which was used to essentially cover all of the abuses that were committed by the Nazi state. And what does Für ihre Sicherheit mean? It means it's for your safety. That's right. That's the phrase that the Nazis seduced people into compliance with, was a phrase that said, it's for your safety. What have we heard? Oh, the government said it's for our safety. Well, we've only had about a half a dozen different potential coronavirus vaccines or treatments for it. We've got the story that circulates widely, which appears to be true, that Bill Gates holds a patent on something that is supposed to treat it, and he actually wants it to get worse. I don't know. I'm no Bill Gates fan. I'm no Warren Buffett fan. I don't really know of any mega billionaire that's a godly person. I'm sure they're out there. I know they're out there. God has blessed some at that level. I just don't hear about them. Warren Buffett, you think he's a nice old man? There isn't a bigger supporter of the slaughter of children in the womb than Warren Buffett. And you go right on down the line. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of YouTube, you've got, you just go right on down the line. Bill Gates, they are all part of a left-wing elite. I don't say they're all connected. I can't say that for a fact. They certainly converse, but are they part of a formal cabal? I don't know. But I do know that they don't have the best interests of any Christian in mind because, like some over on the deep state Republican side, they're not freedom fighters. They're not for liberty. They're globalists. And the globalists want to bring everything together. In fact, that was Joe Biden's speech the other day. He said, this is a perfect time for you students to now become better global citizens. Why would I want to be a global citizen in relationship with to countries like Iran or Yemen or Russia or China, most of all? Why would I want to be unequally yoked to a country that prides itself in persecution of Christians, Christophobia, bibliophobia? Why would I want to be a citizen? No, I want only what Paul says, and that is to be a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, meaning that we are the true Jews now because we are Jewish inside. More on that when we come back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We're back. This is Rob Walter. And you know, the solicitation there reminded me of something. I also was asked, can people give to Real Men Radio? Which is, this is not that program. Yes, you can. If you're listening to here at Red Sky Radio and you'd like to designate it to Real Men, you can make a check out to Real Men Radio, or you can make it out to Red Sky Radio, but just annotate it at the bottom that it's to go to RMR, Real Men Radio, which is greatly expanding. It's a much more pastoral, if I can use that word. But I need to back up. What I hear, it just covers something I jumped into before the break. Scripture says that if we're born again, we are a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. Scripture says that if you are born again, you are actually a true Jew. And it says if you are born again, Jewish or Gentile, there's one new man. There aren't two men anymore. There's one new man. Because it says that the true Jew is the one who's a Jew inwardly, in the heart. Jew being select or chosen of God, which you are if you are, if you belong to Jesus Christ as a Jew ethnically or Gentile. I just want you to understand that. That is where our citizenship really is. And when Paul says you're a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, he means you're really a citizen of heaven. That's the reference. We're not global citizens. I'm not a citizen of a one-world government. I'll renounce my citizenship. But you know what they'll say? You can't renounce your citizenship. Where are you going to go? Watch me. Well, going back to für ihre Sicherheit, it's for your safety. The thing that the Nazis seduced people into going along with every single restriction of the rights that they had previously enjoyed, they weren't taken from them, they surrendered them. Because they believed a Nazi, Hitler, that what was being done was for their own safety. Have we not heard that for everything? Everything. Everything is supposedly for our safety. Because it's a whole Rahm Emanuel deal. They aren't wasting a crisis. Now, there's one Bible passage I want to give you, and you should write it down. It's Proverbs 6:30, chapter 6, verse 30. And I go back to Gretchen Whitmer, who shut down the barber, or is attempting to shut down the 77-year-old barber in Owosso, Michigan, because the guy can't collect unemployment. He's got no money. He needs to work to eat. And he had armed Michigan militia. Praise God for these guys. People think that's an overreaction. No, it's a proper reaction to an overaction by Der Fuhrer, Gretchen Whitmer, who's probably got a plaque on her wall that says, it's good to be king. Good to be queen. It doesn't really matter. She loves power and she loves absolute power. Now, why do I bring up this passage? Because this passage is what God woke me up to read at 3:30 this morning. Because it'll find the passage. I didn't remember it as Proverbs 6:30. I remember the passage. I just didn't remember the address. What, 3:30? Look it up. It was on my heart. I said, well, this has got to be something that is a key to understanding the situation and the degree of civil disobedience that is called for. What does the passage say? Maybe you're already to it. It says in Proverbs 6, chapter 6:30. Is that it? Oh, no, I've got, okay, yes, I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Men, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. And there is some indication that the Greek there for hungry actually means starving. He's at that level of hunger that's approaching starvation. Do not despise a thief if he's stealing because he's on the verge of starvation. Now, that doesn't mean the thief can walk around and just take whatever he wants without some sort of consequence to it. Maybe he's called to pay it back. But we don't get to hold him in disdain, in disregard, in utter contempt, and in a judgmental way, the way we would legitimately hold others in contempt for Medicare fraud, some doctor, or a murderer, or all these things which have a distinct moral connotation. That is for their greed and their gain, not because they are starving. So now, the question of the hour. If we are not to hold in disdain or contempt a thief who steals because he's starving, where does a governor get off ordering a barber to quit working when the barber is starving? The barber isn't even stealing. He has a higher status than the thief. What he is doing is and has been lawful, but for the arbitrary order of a dictatorial fascist whack job called Whitmer. Do you see the point here? I see why God opened this up to me this morning. If we are not to despise somebody who is committing a crime and technically by stealing, where are we to despise? And moreover, why would we not defend somebody who's simply working, only defying an arbitrary order, something that has no moral connotation to it whatsoever, to feed himself? You know, this isn't the first time God has done this. I praise God for that. You know, even if it seems like a small thing to you, if there's something, and maybe it is small to most people, but when the Lord shows me something, it's big. I don't care how small it is, it's big, because he did it. If he told me in the night to not eat peanuts, and it turns out I was developing some peanut allergy, well, that's a big deal. But everything he shows you should be a big deal, because the fact that you're the object of his eye should be a thing to celebrate on a daily basis. Okay, so now we know that anybody and everybody has a biblical right to return to work, forget the nonsense from the governors, call on good people if they have arms to protect the right to go back to work to feed yourself and your family. Says he who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. No, and folks, I am not counseling insurrection. I'm not encouraging rebellion. I'm not advocating an overthrow of the government. I'm simply saying you got a right to go back to work and defend yourself if somebody's trying to shut you down. It's a defense mechanism. It's a defense mechanism for your rights. It's a defense mechanism for your body, for your organs, which need food, just like the thief, who was not the least bit excoriated for stealing, but Whitmer Whackjob wants to excoriate a barber for trying to feed himself. Maybe she'll meet the demise of Herod, consumed by internal parasites before 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Did I really say that? I guess I did. Sorry, folks. I just want justice. And when I see people who without any justice are harassing and depriving people of the right to make a living, honestly, it is okay to overthrow that governor and that government. It is time and okay to defy it. You need to eat more than she needs to have all of her armed bodyguards by the Michigan State Police protecting her house in Ada, Michigan, while she's got all of her meals and this bag's got a paycheck. Now, the teaching part. I want to read you the Declaration of Independence. And I want you to think, as you hear this, how much of this actually is beginning to apply today. And I got a lot to cover and only 15 minutes to do it. So I'm going to get going. And I'll only speak to certain things along the way. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. Now, I'm just got to stop there. We don't hear too much beyond this except the next sentence I'm going to read. I've said that the time is coming where there will be a severance and a secession in the United States. It won't be California leaving because I wish they would leave. No, it's going to be good people in good states that will have to depart. Sorry, it's been fun, but now we have to scream and now we have to leave. Continuing, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights that Gretchen Whitmer is seeking to remove. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not in the original here. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, having been denied them by Gavin Newsom, No, I'm sorry. That's not in there either. Gosh, who messed with my script here today? That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Note that, from the consent of the governed. Are the governed consenting to this? Most of them are not. And I have said before, ad nauseum, when this country splits, it's going to be because there's only two ways to be governed, by consent or by force. The freedom lovers love consent. The Democrats love force because that's the only way they can make it happen unless they trick you with things like für ihre Sicherheit. That when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to have them seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. And that's something. It's the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute a government when the people are deprived of being governed according to their consent. Wow. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them, being the people, under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The history of, and you realize this is addressing the King of Great Britain, but it's also addressing the King of California, Washington, New York, and the Queen of Michigan. That the history of the present is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny. Man, are you hearing this? Was this written last week? Is Jefferson come back? And he lists 27 violations of the king. I do not have time to read them all. Not all of them apply because Whitmer and Newsom are not seizing ships on the high seas and taking the sailors and conscripting them into the California or Michigan army. There's just stuff that doesn't apply, but a number of them do. the king has dissolved the representative houses repeatedly for opposing his invasions on the rights of the people. Stop. All right. The governors are not listening to any of their legislatures. Wretched Whitmer, she's not listening to the House or the Senate in Michigan. You got Democrats who are complaining about Gruesome's power grab in California. The invasion of the rights of the people. Listen to this. They have sent hither, meaning there and now at that time, swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance, a.k.a. Queen Whitmer, King Newsom, King Inslee, King Cuomo. People are out there arresting people that are surfing 200 yards off from the shore, and nobody's there. I mean, it's just crazy. Because they have the power now, they think they have the green light. And are they harassing the people? Yes. Are they eating us out of their substance, our substance? Yes, because we continue to get taxed. Our work is down, but all the government workers, they still got their paycheck checks. They've rendered our military independent of and superior to the civil power. I'm reading these things. This is from the Declaration of Independence. That relates, how many governors have threatened to call out the National Guard? They've taken away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. Now, this was for he, speaking to King George, taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. What does that remind you of? B.O. himself, Barack Hussein Obama. We're going to fundamentally alter this country. We're going to fundamentally alter the form of government. He declared, and people cheered, when he said the very thing that Thomas Jefferson wrote about against the King of England and Parliament. Parliaments declared themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. They're on power trips here. The king has abdicated government by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. These governors have actually waged war against what? Anybody and everybody that wants to work and feed their family and churches and Bible studies. He has destroyed the lives of our people. Speaking to King George. This is exactly describes what's going on in these states. They're destroying the lives. Now, I want to go back to the summary. Jefferson lists the 27 reasons, but I want to just conclude with this. As he wraps up the Declaration of Independence, he says, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Now, I want to insert, we have tried and we are presently trying lawsuits all over the place. That's our redress. The judges who are government employees, the judges who have not had their paycheck reduced, the judges who cannot identify with a common man, are upholding these gross and egregious abuses of power and supporting tyranny at all levels in a number of states. Back to Thomas Jefferson. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. My insert. It seems like every time a judge validates the executive power in a governor, they heighten the power that they're exercising. If there's any line you want to take out of the Declaration of Independence as applicable today, it's the next sentence. The prince or the ruler here, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Let me read Jefferson's words again. The prince, or he means the ruler, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. He goes on to say, nor have we been wanting in our attentions to our brethren. We have warned others from time to time of the attempts to extend the unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. Stop. Has not the media on the right, Breitbart, Fox News, have not I and others from, who knows, the ones who have much bigger audiences, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, have we not been saying over and over, attempting to get the attention of our American brethren, that these are all unjustifiable attempts, as Jefferson says, to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction? They don't have this they don't have the jurisdiction they claim, and yet they're attempting to extend it? Well, those people who don't believe us don't listen to us, mostly Democrats and Nervous Nelly scared Republicans and Nervous Nelly Christians who are just kind of hiding in the caves. Jefferson goes on to say, we have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, but they too. Jefferson is talking about the people who are in the colonies that should be supporting them. They're appealing to his own brethren in the colonies. Why don't you join us? Can't you see what the king is doing? Can't you see what Queen Whitmer is doing and Governor Inslee, King Inslee? We're appealing to your sense of justice and magnanimity. And then he goes on to say to his own citizens in the colonies, they too have been deaf to the voice of justice. And now he speaks to those that are in the homeland, the Tories, and those that are overseas. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war and in peace, friends. Enemies in war and in peace, friends. Those who in a time of peace share the beliefs that we have are our friends. This is what he's saying. And those in a time of war, and this is now a war against the common man, the common woman who just wants to work. I saw the Babylon Bee article the other day. It said the governors are running for cover because the hairdressers and salon owners are coming out with their scissors after them. And the picture shows a whole bunch of young women with scissors and hair cutters in their hands raised as if getting ready to stab a governor. They've had it. The insurrection is happening. Kind of funny, but not so funny if it weren't truthful. In peace, at a time where we share a common destiny, we're friends. Even with those that are outside this country, we're friends. If there's a common interest that we'd have with the Canadians, the Mexicans, the British, even the Chinese and the Russians, a common interest. But when there isn't, they're enemies. When there is not that common interest in enemies, and this is the tough part, the common interest is not being shared by many of our own citizens in this country who support these democratic, tyrannical regimes who want a shutdown that is so painful, like Bill Maher, who said, I don't care if everybody loses their job, if that's what's necessary to get Trump out of office. Can you even imagine somebody would be so heartless, so demonic as to say, I don't really care who starves if we can get this guy out of, this is the hatred for President Trump. You pray for this president. He needs prayer more than ever. Do you not think that this is a lonely vigil? This is a lonely spot that he occupies right now? Trust me, it is. You got to know that. But God, he needs to strengthen himself in the Lord as David did. Because our enemies are not necessarily those overseas anymore. Our enemies are among us. our enemies are becoming increasingly those in our own household and among our own kin. Our enemies are in our land, enemies in war and peace friends. We're in a serious time. God is going to raise you up like Gideon, like Rahab, to do what's necessary, because you've been called for just such a time as this, and like Esther. And while you're on your way to your destiny, remember, you need to sit tall in the saddle, because you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I appreciate everybody listening out there. We'll see you next week.